Welcome back to the DBM Academy podcast. As we know, this week is interesting as we expect the Fed to reduce interest rates and we have the U.S.-China trade meeting. Ahead of this, we're dissecting a powerful claim that the U.S. has executed a stunning economic checkmate, a coup disguised as a trade war. And in doing so, we're witnessing the full-scale replacement of the military-industrial complex with the financial-industrial complex. Sarah, let's start with the coup. How may have America conquered globalization?
It all hinged on tariffs and rare earth elements, John. China controls 80% of the processing for the materials essential for F-35s, Teslas, AI servers, iPhones, the list goes on. The very nerves of the modern economy. The U.S., under Trump, didn't just threaten tariffs, it leveraged its consumer market as a weapon. In a 72-hour blitz, the U.S. secured rare earth pacts and processing deals with nations like Malaysia, Australia, and Thailand, rerouting $180 billion in trade away from China to nations that bend the knee.
So the strategy wasn't to stop trade, but to reroute it and essentially convert the world's largest market from a partner into a mechanism for tribute collection. It forced a choice: access to American markets or access to Chinese supply chains, but not both. The pattern was consistent: announce massive tariffs, markets crater, then exemptions appear for allies, multiplying pressure on Beijing.
Interesting. So we are in the middle of a seismic shift from the military-industrial complex to the financial-industrial complex.
We seem to be, yes, which also goes some way to explaining why long-standing wars are ending so quickly. The old model, represented by the military-industrial complex, symbolized by figures like Netanyahu, is the forever war paradigm, where perpetual conflict is the key driver of profit and leverage. They negotiate from a position of power created by chaos and militarized economics in place for decades.
And the new model, the FIC, represented by Trump, is all about making regional stability more profitable than conflict. Look at the Gulf Cooperation Council, the GCC. They've spent trillions aligning with the FIC in 2025, effectively paying for an end to the forever war. Jared Kushner's Affinity Partners is explicitly cited as a financial bridge to make this stability personally profitable for the FIC leadership.
The Middle East conflict, in this view, is the MIC's last stand, a final brutal attempt to use chaos and leverage tactics to extract better terms for the FIC's eventual profitable exit from the militarized economy. It's a high-stakes negotiation where the GCC is playing a dangerous game with the New World Order under the FIC model to maintain their autonomy during the shift.
Right, and we saw this play out very quickly in recent months. Now, what about the monetary base under this shift? What is the latest on the Bitcoin endgame, a new monetary base?
Well, this whole narrative of the structural shift and the death of globalization based on war has massive implications for the global monetary system. We see the U.S. debt spiraling and the BRICS nations, led by China and Russia, actively pursuing de-dollarization by seeking alternative payment systems.
Exactly. The de-dollarization push and the desire to circumvent the weaponization of the U.S. dollar through sanctions is creating a demand for a truly neutral reserve asset. And that's where the link to Bitcoin comes in. If the FIC's control is based on a fiat financial system with spiraling debt, any nation or alliance, like BRICS, seeking a genuine alternative will look for sound money.
Bitcoin, with its finite supply cap and decentralized nature, is the antithesis of the fiat system that funded the MIC's forever wars for centuries. Endless conflict is enabled by the ability to print unlimited money. Sound money, like Bitcoin, theoretically prevents that. We may well be entering an era of hash wars over weapons wars. Anyone who has placed themselves close to the center of the money supply gets to reap the benefits of this shift.
You're right. The FIC aims to maintain financial dominance, but the U.S.'s own massive debt creates a systemic vulnerability. The simultaneous trends are fascinating. BRICS is exploring blockchain-based payment systems and the concept of a commodity-backed currency to challenge the dollar. While in the U.S., we've seen proposals like the rumored Bitcoin Reserve to include Bitcoin in the nation's reserves to hedge against inflation and offset that same massive debt. They may even liquidate part of the old system, gold, to shore up reserves in Bitcoin.
Fascinating. So whether you are the FIC trying to solidify the new financial empire or the BRICS alliance trying to counter it, the underlying principle is the same. The traditional fiat system is cracking under the weight of debt and geopolitical weaponization. Bitcoin, as a potential supra-sovereign currency or a neutral scarce asset, becomes a key strategic element in the biggest global power shift since 1945. It's either a tool for U.S. financial resilience against debt or a lifeboat for nations fleeing the dollar's weaponized power. Either way, this is a win-win for private Bitcoin owners, especially those who hold the asset in self-custody.
The monetary base is being reevaluated in real time. It's no longer just about whose military is strongest, but whose money is soundest. That's the Bitcoin endgame.
A fascinating conclusion to the game plan as we currently see it, Sarah. Be sure to tune in to the weekly DBM strategy call for up-to-the-moment updates on not only how individuals can now build a private treasury for themselves based on a globally connected balance sheet, but also how we leverage this toward perpetual cash flows in a world now based on communications, AI, and interconnected value across several industry sectors. Be sure to keep your business on the cutting edge, folks. See you in the DBM.academy.